So guys, it's nearly Halloween. Are you scared? Terrified?
Horrified?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is Tech Talk at Halloween with Stephen Spooky Scott, Sean Petrified Priest,
boom,
and Tim Scary Schwartz.
Oh, you know what I love about this program? We have absolutely no budget whatsoever, and we still pull it off every week, and I have no idea how. Hello, yes, it is the Tech Talk Show. That Tech Talk Show, yes. Believe it or not, we do talk about technology here, and we will get to it at some point. But before that, let me introduce my scary friends every day of the year. That is Sean Priest. Hello.
Hello, Stephen Scott. That was truly terrifying, or cringe-making. I'm not sure, but either way, it was creepy. Well done.
Yeah. And Tim Schwartz. Scary Schwartz, as we now call him. Hello.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Sean. Yes, Scary Schwartz at your service. Blah!
What is that? What is that you're doing?
That's like the stereotypical vampire, like, hello, I'm the vampire, blah!
Yeah, you know, Dracula always says blah.
Yeah, Dracula always says blah.
I must have missed that in the film.
It's an American thing, Stephen. Move on.
No. Moving on.
Right, anyway, yes, it is the Halloween special, although just a slight programming note, the show doesn't go out on Halloween. But let's just put that to the side, right? Forget that.
No, that's ruined it for me now.
But it's the week of Halloween. I mean, these days, you know what Halloween... I mean, Halloween starts in, what, August?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
So, you know, it doesn't matter if we're a day early. It's fine. It's fine. And people are listening on podcasts and all kinds. I have to say, if you're one of those people who sort of save up your episodes, maybe listen to a batch... And maybe you get to this one in December, you're going to be wondering what is going on.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, and Happy Halloween. Right, well, on today's programme, I had a great idea. I had a brilliant idea. I thought, Halloween special, I've got this brilliant idea. What we will do is we will talk about why you should not be scared of technology.
Oh, clever.
Right?
Clever.
Brilliant idea.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Top drawer stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, top drawer. But then we got all these emails in, and I'm like, well, hang on, do we read the emails? Or do we do this thing? And basically what I came to the conclusion is that reading the emails meant less work for us. So I went with that.
No, that's not true. Don't listen to him. That's not true. We love the emails. We love getting feedback. We love the interaction. I can't get enough of the emails.
Yeah. I love the emails as well because it's less work for me.
Okay.
And it's always about less work for Stephen, as we know.
It's all about me. You know that. Right.
Yes.
Well, listen, before we get into the emails, Scientific Guy Chris will be along in a second, but before that, I just want to let you know about the way the show will work today, because we have spent a bit of time. This show does have a limited budget of £0, but we have managed to pull together some brilliant sound effects. So we're going to introduce you to those. So you hear them through the course of the program, and you'll be able to really get the value out of what we've put in this week.
Exactly what we put into this show this week.
Yeah, this will highlight exactly what we put into this program this week.
I'm almost convinced that each of your three sound effects were recorded around Sean Priest's house, but we'll see.
Well, let's see if the first one might have been. I mean, we could maybe guess.
I think all three of them, possibly. Yeah.
Well, actually, this is the thing, right? Because actually, you've just given me a brilliant idea, which I'm going to claim.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that we even thought about it beforehand, and I'm actually suggesting it to you as the reality where we now stand. That is how we prep this show. So what I'm going to say is that each of these sound effects was recorded in each of our houses. But which one was which?
Clever.
That's not bad, considering I just pulled that out of somewhere a minute ago. Right, you ready for this? So this is the first one.
Tim's house, definitely Tim's house. It just sounds like you.
Yeah, that's me.
He didn't go, blah.
Blah! Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what about this one? Sean's house.
No, that's you getting your credit card bill. I know it.
That's his wife getting his credit card bill.
And, of course, our final one.
That ask me.
I don't think we have to even speculate where that came from.
That's definitely a sheep, and that is evil sheep.
Yeah.
Angry sheep because, unfortunately, Sean does like the odd lamb chop.
So there you go. Tandoori evil sheep. I like it. So there's the three sound effects we've lavished this week. So prepare to be annoyed all throughout the show by them.
Yeah, exactly. Prepare to be annoyed, horrified. I can hear clicking all over the place. I don't know what it is. Is it people turning off? No, it's fine. I think we're all right. I think we're okay.
Anyway, the tech.
Technology. Tech
oh,
talk.
Yeah, that. That's why we're here, isn't it? So, yeah, we thought we'd go through your emails this week because there are so many of them, and we really do appreciate you getting in touch, and I'd rather spend time answering your queries than us just waxing on. And also, you know, it does make life easier for us. Right, so moving on. We've got the emails, and we've spooked up the jingle.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
That actually creeped me out a little bit. That is terrifying.
Oh, do you know, it's one of it. You'd never guess on Sunday night I wasn't doing anything. Would you? I mean, you had no idea.
No,
that, would you?
Never.
That took a week.
This is what happens when my wife goes to bed early. This is her fault, frankly. I blame her for all of this. And the thing was, what's worse is when you actually wake her up to say, listen to this, look what I've done. And she says, yes, what have you done?
What are you doing with your life? I know.
Yeah.
I understand, Steve. That was very, very good. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be appreciated, even though I know it's all
so
lies.
Impressed.
Okay, so Sighted Guy Chris is with us. Hello, Sighted Guy Chris.
Hello, Tech Talkers, and thank you very much for having me on the show once again.
Yes, well, you're welcome. It is lovely to have you here.
Well,
you are the eyes of the operation. I don't know who the brain is, but certainly the eyes are here, so that's good news. Right, shall we get into the first email?
Well, our first email comes from Karen, who says, Dear Steve, Sean and Tim, I hope that Chris reads this email out. Well, I am, Karen, I am. I recently downloaded and listened to a podcast referring to a talking battery power bank for charging devices such as smartphones, etc. She said it was the MyPeaks 6000. She mentioned that she had purchased this product from Amazon, but I've looked for it and can't find it anywhere. I've also looked on the RNIB shop site and other sites, such as eBay, but still, I can't find it. Can you advise me as to where I could purchase one of these products, please? P.S. I am an Apple iOS dedicated user, and thank you for your response to my recent email regarding smart speakers. I have decided to go for the Amazon Dot third generation on your recommendation. I also listen to your show either live or on podcast, so please keep up the good work as I really enjoy listening to you all. Aww. Regards from Kate Lamond from Stoke-on-Trent.
I think that was Karen. I think it was Karen.
He started to trip
I believe
us
he started
already.
As Karen.
I know. Honestly, it's changing people's names now. This guy's taking control. Listen, thank you for the email, Karen. That is brilliant to hear. That you got the Amazon Echo. You know, I finally unboxed mine, guys, and do you know what? Sean's right. It's not bad.
Did I hear that right? Can we save that bit? That was Stephen Scott saying I was right. And yes, I am. It's a fantastic little speaker. You're not going to be disappointed with it. The audio quality is great, and we all know the Lady A or the Echo Voice Assistant service is great. So I think you said this is your first smart speaker, so get back in touch with us and let us know what you think. I really am interested, but I love it. It's a fantastic speaker.
Yeah, it is good. Tim, have you got one yet?
Unfortunately, no, but I will probably have one by the end of the year. I'm waiting for the holiday season when they maybe will mark it down.
You're waiting for Santa?
I'm waiting for Santa, yes. Please, Santa, bring me an Echo Dot 3. Oh, Santa, wow.
That's scary, Santa. Yeah. Well, that's good. Let's get back to the point, though, of Karen's email, and that was about the talking power bank. These are actually quite hard to get hold of. We found this as well because we get Julie, who comes along and sends us, you know, a review every so often of these ones that she finds. And the last one she sent is in was a review because the previous one, which I think was the MyPeaks one, has actually been discontinued. A new one called the iWalk battery charger has come out in its place. You can find it on Amazon if you look for it. I-walk, W-A-L-K. I have to say, though, I've gone through the description. I don't see anything in there about saying it speaks, which you think, considering it's one of the few that does it, it would maybe tell you that.
Yeah, I would assume it doesn't. If it doesn't mention it, then it probably hasn't got it. Mm. The thing with these are they seem to come out and then they seem to disappear just as quickly or be replaced or be rebadged. It's really tricky to get hold of one. The last one I heard was, again, from Julie. I think it was called the iWalk Secretary, wasn't it? It had a real strange name. Mm-hmm. So I would start there. Try looking for the iWalk Secretary. I don't think it is on Amazon, though.
I'm going to suggest that if you want any information on this, to give Steve Nutt a call over at Computer Room Services, because he will know, and they do sell some on his website. Steve sells all kinds of accessible assistive products. The number is 01438-742-286. I'll say that again at the end of the show so that you can catch that if you want. But
you won't remember.
No, I always say that, don't I? I always say, I must remember and do that, and then I forget. But hopefully I will not forget. And if I do, email me and shout at me. I guess that's all caps. Right, let's move on to another email. Chris, what else is there?
Next email is from Jamal, who says, "Hello, Tech Talk.
Hey.
My name is Jamal Ahmed. I am partially blind and from Preston. I use a Windows PC and I also use an Android smartphone, which is the LG G6. I am thinking of getting an OCR, Optical Character Recognition package. At the moment, I am confused between two possible solutions. Should I get the Synaptic software on a Galaxy Tab A10.1-inch tablet from Synaptic, which will cost me £420, or should I get the KNFB reader app on my smartphone? Ideally, I would like something that does OCR and colour detection because I have colour blindness also. Can you please help me out? Could you also recommend a free colour detection app, which I could download onto my Android smartphone? Kind regards from Jamal Ahmed."
Right, okay. So hang on, how much was that? Did they say that the...
£400 for the Synaptic. I walked right into that one like a lamppost. Didn't see that one coming.
Like a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, wait.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you feeling, Mr. Lamb? Yeah, not happy. Right.
I'm okay, so sorry. So
this is very quickly going off the rails.
Going.
Okay, so to OCR first, right? I think we go there first. Using Windows computer, okay, and you're using the Android phone. Okay, here's my tuppence worth on this. I wouldn't go down the Synaptics route in your case because you've already got an Android phone. Although, am I suggesting that he's thinking he'll just get the software? Oh, no, he said he would buy a tablet.
Yeah.
But didn't he? So, you know, he'd end up with another device. So that might get a bit tricky. Although, don't get me wrong, having used Synaptic, it's not a bad piece of kit by any stretch. And I wouldn't want to say that. But I think it might be just a bit, you know, you're just adding more stuff into it, you know?
What I would say is if you're needing to scan full-page documents all the time or a lot of the time, that's when you might want to consider getting a PC version. But if you're just looking to get bits of texts, maybe envelopes or letters or business cards or just things off of products, boxes, cans, things like that, I always go with KNFB Reader over something that you would get on your computer. Like you said, Stephen, Synaptic is great. It's a great software and it's got its purpose, but boy, I don't know. For that price difference, I think KNFB Reader would be fine. And KNFB Reader does do full-page documents fairly well.
Correct. It does.
It
absolutely
does. Yeah.
Stephen, I want the scream sound effect immediately because he is so wrong.
What?
Thank you. Okay, so...
Don't ask me for that in a hurry. You know, it takes me time to find this thing, right?
Keeping you on your toes.
This isn't...
Look...
Yeah, this isn't easy.
I was going to... See, when you started that...
What is this? Chris Moyle's show?
I was going to... I was going to agree with you, Tim. It depends on how you want your scanner set up. If you want a little area put away where you can scan documents, you know, on their own and as its own little defined specific area, then it may be worth getting a separate piece of hardware, whether that be Synaptic with some sort of mobile device or a standalone scanner or whatever.
Yes.
But if you're just thinking of, you know, you want something to occasionally read your mail or documents or business cards or whatever, it doesn't matter actually what the OCR task is. Just using your current smartphone and something like KNFB Reader is more than enough. I read all my daily posts just on the settee, chuck it down in between my feet and use my phone. I don't need a specialist area to do it. So that's, you know, the more casual use, I think it's more than fine. I would definitely check out the KNFB Reader on Android. It's a great app, works really well.
Okay, Stephen, I'm going to ask you, because clearly Sean's delirious. What part of that is disagreeing with what I said?
Yeah, I'm struggling as well to understand what
I had said, that if you're doing full page documents all the time as something that you need to do, then maybe it's worth the expense. But otherwise,
you said use your computer if you want to use your smartphone for business cards and little bits of snippets of text. No,
and
you don't need a computer to do full page documents.
End,
your smartphone is more than capable.
All right. Break it up. What is it in the EastEnders?
But I did go on to say, Sean, that KNFB does read full-page documents just fine.
Yeah, eventually. You added that on
the end.
Well,
you know, someone was interrupting me, so.
Oh.
Okay,
right, break
anyway.
Up.
Listen,
break
I would
up.
I would look at KNFB Reader on your smartphone, and with something like a scan stand or a giraffe stand, it gives you a perfect setup. It lines the phone up. It works really well if you've got a lot of documents to scan. So definitely check that out first. But I've got nothing against getting specific hardware if you need it, but that is a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of money. I think it's a lot to put out on something which you have already got access to. I mean, no, you have to pay for the app, obviously, for the KNFB Reader app, but it is a lot less. And I just think, you know, if you're used to using that phone, maybe that's the issue. Maybe you're not comfortable using that phone, Jamal. I don't know. But if you're not comfortable with that phone, then maybe you would want to look at something else. If you are, stick with it and get the KNFB Reader, I would think.
And quickly, there is other options. You don't have to go with KNFB Reader. There's one called, I think Tim looked it up for me. God bless you, Tim. Envision AI for Android. That's a free app, and it's comparable to Seeing AI on iOS. So it will do documents, it will do scene recognition, it may even do color identification as well. So check that one out, Envision AI. It's a free app, so maybe try that one first.
Yeah, it does say that it does do color detection in addition to everything else, but I'd be kind of cautious when it comes to color detection, especially free apps, because they're not that great. Even ones that I've downloaded that have a cost to them, you would think, oh, well, I'm paying for this development. Yeah, still not all that great. It's just not as easy as you would think to detect colors with a smartphone camera. You'd think it'd be amazing, but it's not quite there. It does okay. I'm not saying it's somewhere between terrible and okay. I think I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a dedicated color detection device.
Those are better.
I must say, I'm not overly keen on specialist kit, as you guys know,
right?
But I think your credit where credit's due, these devices are pretty good. You get them from the RNIB shop, you get them from a whole wide range of places, you know, and once you've got them, they are very good at focusing. I think as well, it's being colorblind, right? I want as simple an answer as possible. I don't want a hue of fuchsia, you know, with a hint of, I don't know, tangerine, or I have no idea. I don't do color. I don't know anything about color. So, you know, to me, it's like red, blue, yellow. Keep it simple, you know?
Yes.
Just don't. I actually want my color detector to tell me the closest color it is to red, blue, yellow. You know what I mean?
Primary colors, yeah.
Exactly.
But just search the App Store for color identifier, and I'm sure there will be some free ones there. But I got to say, it's not easy to use because of the camera, the wide angle, and if you get close to color, obviously it gets darker than it actually is, so you need to turn the flash on, which then lightens it all out. So they're not great, I've got to say. Probably specialized hardware is probably the best way to go.
Yeah, room lighting, big problem. You know, it can change the whole way it comes across. So yeah, I think dedicated device on that occasion. So you know what, get your KNFB Reader, get your dedicated color ID device, and you know what, you will be set for life, Jamal. Right, that's you sorted. Next, Chris.
An email here from Rebecca, who says, "Hi, well, I'm a fan of the iPhone SE, but I had to upgrade my phone and chose the iPhone 7. I like the thin size, but miss the smaller 4-inch screen. I had to replace my phone because I overcharged the battery. I advise all iPhone users to follow the advice given to me when I purchased my iPhone 7. Never leave the iPhone plugged up all day. It overcharges the battery. Instead, let your phone get down to a certain percentage, say 10% or 20%, and then recharge and take the phone off the outlet. The iPhone 7 doesn't seem to take long to charge. Keep a portable charger handy. And that's from Rebecca.
Yeah, and get one that talks, if you can get one.
hang on a minute. I've got to be careful here. Is that true?
I don't know that that is. I'd be curious to know who told Rebecca that, if that was an Apple store.
I don't think so.
Because in all my research about batteries, when you get to 100%, there's a certain point where the battery will flip from being charged or charging the battery to your phone actually running on power from the wall. And it'll tell you that when you look at the battery percentage here in the States, it will say, you know, running on AC power, charging on AC power. And so I've always understood that that's actually better for your phone, that overnight or during the day, if you're at 100%, plugging it in actually saves battery because it's going off the charge of your electric in your house. So I don't know that there's a way to overcharge. Now, is there a way to drain your battery and ruin your battery over time? Yes. My iPhone 7 right now is in the 70-something percents and recommending that I get a new battery. So it is possible to drain the battery down, and that can cause processing issues. But that said, I don't know that there's a way to overdrain it by having it plugged in.
Or overcharge it. No, I know that.
Or overcharge it. Once you're over 100%, that is. If you're running on power, the wall's power, I don't think that's a problem.
I think that used to be a problem.
Yes, it did. That's right. It's an old battery problem. Same with the power cycling, where charging it when it wasn't totally flat was a problem. But the batteries now are a lot better, and I'm really surprised. And I say, I'm being careful here because I don't know for sure.
Right.
But I would be really surprised if you could do that on the iPhone SE. I would have thought if there was a problem with the battery, simply going through Apple to replace it, which it still is on the discount at the moment, I think till the end of December, Tim.
Till the end of the year, yep.
So for £30, you could have replaced the battery and it would have been as good as new. Now, maybe there was some sort of actual fault with the electrics in there and it shorted something. So I don't know, but I'm not convinced that battery overcharging, leaving it plugged in, is a problem anymore.
No, I agree. I've not heard of that, but I have heard of it in the past. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there might be something wrong with that particular battery. And age would certainly be a part to play in it. I mean, you know, how old are these SEs now? They've been out for years. So, yeah.
Yeah, but not old enough that the battery should have...
Nothing lasts forever anymore, Sean.
No. Oh, back in my day, Stephen.
Yeah, back in the old days, you know, things were made to last. Not like now. No, I think, you know, you've made the right decision getting the iPhone 7. I have to be honest, I love my iPhone
absolutely.
XS. I love the XS, yeah. But, you know, the only reason I'm kind of sticking with it, to be honest, is because I know that's where all the technology is going. If I had thought that the home button, for example, would remain, I would probably just stick with an iPhone 7 or an iPhone 8 for years to come. But it's not. That's just not the way it's going. So I may as well get used to it now.
Might as well jump in now. Well, the only reason I say that is because, you know, the SE is a great size if you don't use the screen. Mm. It's a great form factor. So if you still got the SE and you can get it back to, you know, prime condition just by simply replacing the battery for £30, then I would definitely do that.
Well, iOS 12 is making it better and certainly
absolutely.
Making it much more enjoyable.
Great. Oh, yeah.
That's a much better system. I mean, that operating system, I've got to say, my experience of iOS 12 so far has been very good. I remember iOS 11 being the buggiest version we'd ever seen.
No, it was great. It was great. No, iOS
was
8
terrible.
Was terrible. No.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 8 was...
No, I think 11
and
8
I remember
were
iOS
close.
3 wasn't
back
my favorite.
In my day. This was all
get
fields.
Off my lawn.
Yeah, yeah. And the day when Apple's campus was just a field, well, you know, that's when, you know...
But anyway, no, 12 is great, yes.
12 is good. I think it's good. right, let's get some more emails then. Chris, back to you.
Our next email comes from Wayne. He says, "Hi guys, just thought I'd pop along to sort out a problem or two. It's quite easy to fix the voice problem in Mojave. Apple have changed how the page presents for changing the voiceover attributes in the voiceover utility. Simply press VOF8 to go to the voiceover utility. VO right cursor until you come to the speech tab, aerospace. VO right until you hear customize language list and then interact with that table. You will hear default language and then whichever voice you're using. In my case, my default language is Australian Lee because he doesn't have one of those naggy tones. Don't worry, Steve. I use the female Scottish voice for the log-on screen. She sounds a bit like Lorraine from Morning Telly from years ago. I believe she's still around somewhere, though, but I don't watch Morning Telly very much these days. You will need to then VO right to the edit button, VO space on that, and then you will have access to all of the other voices, including menu voice, status voice, etc., etc. These are the ones that you need to change to your default voice in order for them to be consistent across the system. Of course, if you do want to use different voices for different events, simply select the voice you want to use in this list. For each voice option, simply press VO space to activate the drop list and select the voice you want from that. Sounds a bit involved, but actually you'll be done in about 60 seconds if you're fluent with the navigation keys. All right, there's more to this email, guys, but I think we should put a pin in it and discuss.
Oof, okay, Chris.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
That's the boss of us.
I know. Honestly, you bring in a sighted guy and suddenly they're telling you.
Over.
Yeah. No, here's how you should do it. No, do you know what? You're right. Actually, let's discuss this for a minute, because this was the email we got last week from someone who said they were having problems with the with this, you know, voice changing. So, you know, you'd have voice speaking away merrily on voiceover, and then suddenly it would change to a different voice completely. Now, Sean, you've been looking at this. Have you found this problem?
Yes, I've spoken to quite a few people who have had this problem. Some of them updating to the new Mojave OS. I encountered it when I was updating to El Capitan. It was an old laptop I was looking at. So absolutely right, Wayne. Yes, usually you would go to the voiceover utilities, find the speech section, and you can edit or customize all the speech and voices there. The problem seems to be that when someone is updating, mucks around with those settings that people have set up anyway. When I did the first update, because I was a few versions behind, I had no speech at all. I had to go back in and none of the voices were downloaded. It had deleted them and I had to select Daniel Compact. When I did the next update, Daniel Compact was the only was my system voice and I could not get rid of it. I changed it to Ava, my voice of choice, and Daniel was still, you know, talking here and there. It just seemed to have no consistency. So yes, some people have said this has worked for them, so it's definitely worth a try. Go into the voiceover utilities, speech, and customize your voices. But I'm not entirely sure this fixes everyone's problem. It does seem to change at random, but this is definitely an issue that people are having. And yeah, well, look, what it comes down to is I haven't found a definitive answer to this. Yes.
All that to say that you have no definitive answer. Well done, Sean.
Yes,
well,
basically, we still don't know. But this is definitely worth a try. It has fixed the problem in some cases. So definitely try this first.
Well, we will watch with interest on this one. Anyone else got any ideas, then do get involved. Tell us what you think. Maybe you can tell me why on mine, running El Capitan, I get a voice coming out of my Mac and my headphones at the same time, although at different points. That's hilarious.
It's creepy.
It is a bit, yeah.
That's just the voice in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I prefer the sheep. Right, let's get another email. Well, actually, let's stay with this email,
so
because there's more to it, Chris, isn't there?
Okay, back to Wayne's brilliant email. Wayne continues, now to the Siri shortcuts. You can actually search for these on the internet if you don't want to have fun building your own. This can be useful just to get some basic experience in how they work. As Sean said, they can be simple step-by-step routines similar to Alexa-type routines, or you can get more involved where, in fact, they can become more complex. They can also be used by developers themselves to make their apps voice accessible. For example, Overcast have included Siri shortcuts so that you can control their podcasts by voice, similar to what you can do with Apple Podcasts. This will mean Siri could become deeply integrated to become a stronger platform than Alexa or Google Home. The advantage of Google Home, though, is that Google can use the artificial intelligence framework to do internet searches and integrate what they know about you. Depending on your point of view, this is very dodgy or very liberating, depending on what you're prepared to sacrifice in privacy. Another debate, however. In my case, I have used a two-line shortcut in which I can launch YouTube and automatically run Sky News live video stream. I tend to use this just as a quick reference in the morning and through the day when I want to tune in. I've included the same for Friends 24 Live and Al Jazeera Life, just for those varied perspectives. Of course, this could be any YouTube video stream if I choose. I've attached the Siri voice command, so whereas before I was having to launch YouTube, search for Sky News, navigate the screen and then select the result or tap on the subscriptions tab, I can now simply say live update and everything is done automatically and complete in a second or two. Same for Friends 24 or Al Jazeera. To do this, I purchased a launching app called Opener. This can take URLs from another app and launch it in a browser or app of my choice. Opener only cost £1.99 and has been a useful addition. There are other launching apps that can integrate with shortcuts, which massively increases the automation potential across the system. Effectively, shortcuts can open the entire iOS platform to voice command rather than screen interaction. This only depends on the integration from developers and from ourselves. It's best to treat shortcuts as recreational learning, where you can download shortcuts from the internet to experiment with or just spend a bit of time here and there to play. It's surprising what can be done with a bit of practice. I do agree that experienced users are likely to make the best use of shortcuts, although I think it is the developer that can create the best opportunities for voice automation on iOS through the integration in their apps. Keep your pecker up, chaps, and as always, keep the banter going. Jolly good show. Tally-ho, until morning. Sorry if I've waffled a bit, but I believe this is one of my main endearing qualities. Best wishes. From Wayne.
Well, you're in good company, Wayne.
Wow.
Good company you're in.
Well done, Wayne.
Wow, that was probably the best explanation I've heard. That was much better than mine. Fantastic. Yeah, definitely. He needs to be on the show.
Well, unfortunately, what happened last week with me, with my morning from, well, you know where, I wasn't able to be on the show to try to explain that as well as Wayne did, because I was yelling sleeping at the radio. Yep, that's about right. Saying, you know what, Sean's doing a great job, but boy, I want to say so much more about that. But Wayne did a very wonderful job at explaining that. But he's right. There are great places to download more advanced shortcuts that other people have done. If you're into programming or familiar programming, shortcuts, probably the app itself isn't too daunting, if you know programming. But that being said, you can do some simple things and watch YouTube videos. There's a website that I just found called ShareCuts is the name of the website. I think it's .com. But if you just Google search ShareCuts, there's a lot of Siri shortcuts that are there that advanced users are creating, and you can download and share. So yeah, it's a really nice integration with Siri.
Well, I think it's terrible.
Oh, Stephen.
Yeah, I do. I think it's, well, look, here's the thing.
No, hang on. Yeah, no, I'm going to get comfy while you try and justify that. This is terrible. Everyone brace yourselves. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing, right? They are the app is not terrible and the idea is not terrible, but what is terrible is that these functions that exist in shortcuts, the fact that you have to essentially build up this world to suit you is just ridiculous. I would have thought that Siri shortcuts should be a developer thing and not for us. And that's kind of where Wayne was going with it. You know, this is something which developers will use, but
it is.
I know it is, but the fact is, I don't, you know, if I bought a house and someone said to me, okay, I'm going to do is I'm going to send you all the bricks in the post, and then you can decide how you want the bricks to be arranged, and then that will be your house. That's not what
on,
I
Tim.
Want.
Go on, Tim. Oh. Tear them to pieces.
Stephen. Wow.
I'm as angry as that sheep.
Well, but here's the thing. Like Wayne said in his email, apps like Overcast have integrated almost every single thing you can do in Overcast can be done with Siri Shortcuts, and it's implemented right into the app. Twitter has done that now, several different things within Twitter. I can name several apps that they're integrating shortcuts into their app. You don't even need to use the Siri Shortcut app. You don't have to use any of that at all. Just through the app that the developer has created, they're integrating Siri Shortcuts, just like you're saying that you would want to have happen. Hopefully people out there are saying, Overcast, play RNIB, you know, Tech Talk, and it's playing for them without having to navigate the app. But you can then, if you want to do more advanced things, you can then string those together like Alexa routines. That's a great example of what these would be, and have it do additional things, have it do more things. So I have one set up that you can use in the morning where, say, if you have smart lights, you could have it turn on your lights as well as turn off Do Not Disturb. You can have it then start playing a particular playlist in Overcast. You can set it to do all kinds of different things. And all I do is tell Siri, I'm awake. And all those things happen all at one time. In one string, I don't have
to, doesn't get used very often then.
I was awake last week, much against what some people might have thought. Just had a horrible morning, but anyway. But you can string together those things just like routines on Alexa, but you don't have to. So many apps have integrated shortcuts that you could just use them. The problem I think that you're trying to say, Stephen, is that the iPhone should just be able to access these things automatically within an app. But that takes the developers integrating it into their app. Apple doesn't have control over these apps and the development of these apps. They have to wait for the developers to do it.
Yeah, but
they've given
the
developers the tools.
Siri Shortcuts is, it's like, you know, right, okay, so I've got this idea.
No.
I'd like to watch certain TV programs on demand when I like. So what I'm going to have to do is build an app and then contact all the broadcasters and make sure they put their programs onto this app so I can watch them. Oh, no, wait a minute. Netflix have already done it. Whew.
Well, that's called the TV app on your phone. And if you ask Siri to play a particular TV show, she will pull it up through the TV app and will play it. As a matter of fact, Amazon Prime Video will do that as well with Siri Shortcuts. They've implemented Siri Shortcuts as well. But all that can be done through the TV app already.
Yeah.
Steven. Yeah, I know it's there, but my point is I don't want it to go and build it. That's the point.
Well, you'd have to.
You don't have
that's
to.
What
we're
that's
what we're
the
trying
point
to
of
do.
Why bother?
You've
with
got it? Recommendations, you've got suggestions, and you've got the shortcut app. You can build your own. You can have iOS recommend some to you, and you can have developers shove them in your face.
You know, this is
so you've covered on all
this
faces.
This is one of those
so
features.
Fine.
This is one of those features I thought I would get into. I thought the next couple of months I'll probably get into this. I've tried it and I've thought this is ridiculous. I'm essentially doing the developers' work for them. No, I'm not doing it.
Lazy.
No.
We must be running out of time. Next email.
Yeah, next,
let's
please.
Move on. So this is actually an email we got in from Mark, who sent us an audio clip.
Hi, peeps. This is Mark Ashcroft from Manchester. No, Tim. Not Manchester, Tennessee. No, New Hampshire. No, Connecticut. No, Manchester, Vermont. No, Manchester, Massachusetts by the sea.
Yeah, Tim.
As a sideline, I did go to see that film, Manchester by the Sea. Oh. It was very good, but my wife had to describe a lot of it to me. Well, on with the matter ahead. About the watch, the Apple Watch, soon as you spoke of the triple two-fingered tap that affects the crown, I had to try it on my version 3. So, that's what I did. Triple tap. And yes, it turned the crown off. Then I triple clicked it again with two fingers and on it came. Now, I do know that this is rather bugging to some people, but I don't think it's quite a bug. So don't let it bug you, either any of you. So thank you very much to all of you for all the efforts you make, even sighted Chris. Take care. God bless you all. Mark from Manchester, UK.
Hey,
Manchester. Well done, Mark.
Well, I don't know about completely well done. The second half of that message, perhaps. What kind of American does he think I am?
Puts him in his place. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
I think
right.
He thinks. I just think he thinks you're American.
Yes.
Well, thank
it.
You for stereotyping all of us Americans. I'd like to pride myself on being one of those
all right,
few
Tim,
Americans.
Oh,
hang on. No, I want to hear this. What did you say there? You want to pride yourself on being one of the...
I was going to say, I'd like to pride myself on being one of those few Americans who actually understands things overseas and across the pond.
That's terrible. I can't believe you said that.
I can.
Oh, he's trumping it up.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Speaking of those people that don't understand things across the pond.
Oh, okay. Wow. The Apple Watch.
Apple now, Watch.
This is after a tip we got from Miss Corrie Brown, isn't it?
Yes, Corrie Brown. No relation to...
That's EastEnders. But,
Corrie,
okay.
Get it, Corrie. Right, anyway, moving on. Yeah, Corrie got in touch... I apologise to everyone. This may be our last show. We don't know.
This is probably the worst show we've ever done. We're so sorry.
I'm so glad I came back this week. Wow.
Yeah, you probably wish you'd slept in this week, Tim. Well, here's the thing. Corrie did get in touch and she was telling me about this. I have to be totally honest. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm just saying. Oh, right, sorry, I was waiting for someone to come to my defence.
Nope.
But I read this comment out from Corrie, and after I read it, and after I'd said, oh, it sounds like a bug, you know, it's terrible, Corrie got in touch and said, yeah, Stephen, you're a bit dim. actually, it's not a bug. It's fine. It's just a feature. See, a feature. It's not a bug. So, yeah, it's not a bug at all. Whoever said that is wrong. And that was me. So
was that an apology? Well
no,
done.
No, it wasn't. I didn't say anything wrong. I just said what I thought at the time.
So what was the problem? What was the problem with the crown? I cannot remember, to be honest.
So this was where the crown... So Corrie had thought this was a problem because she had done this triple tap.
Passing the blame, okay.
Yeah, it's all Corrie's fault. Two-finger triple tap, and when she did that, it sort of turns the crown off. I don't really understand why this is a need.
Was it something to do with moving around and changing the volume and moving up and down using the crown rather than swiping
rather
on the
than
screen?
Using swipe, yeah, maybe. But I don't really understand why you would... Well, okay, I'm not going to get into it again.
The only other reason I could see you'd want to turn the crown off, if this...
Spit it out, Tim.
Come on, Tim.
Oh,
yeah.
He's got me all flustered. Wow. If this turns off all the crown functions, not just spinning the crown, but the actual pushing of the button, that could be beneficial because holding that button in will activate Siri. And if it bumps up against your wrist or your arm, Siri tries to talk to you just random times. This is why I actually wear my watch in reverse mode.
Strange.
To try to prevent that.
Weirdo.
But if you can disable that with this function, then that could be helpful.
Listen, it's all right, guys. We'll be finished in 15 minutes. Everyone can get back to normal. RNIB Connect can go back to normality after this. Right, so it's not a problem. It's a feature, and it's something you might want to use. But Mark, thank you for getting in touch and actually explaining it to me in words I understand. Not that Corrie didn't, I should point that out. Corrie did explain it in words I understand. It's just that I wasn't really using my brain at the time. So moving on, right, silence. To Chris. Chris, you're back with another email.
All right, so our next email comes from Julie, who says, "Hi, Stephen. I've received this little device today and I am not disappointed. Whilst it does have limitations, this simple but effective device is a pleasure to use. Ooh. The ability to connect with iOS devices is a breeze, and the ability to quickly take notes and have them sorted on an SD card for later retrieval is most convenient. The quality of the Braille is beautiful, and the quietness of the keys when typing is quite surprising. There is some slight delay as the Braille refreshes, but it's not as slow as I was led to believe. File manipulation is very easy to accomplish, and whilst the absence of cursor routing keys is a decided disadvantage for editing text quickly, it is still possible to do. Documentation is thorough but easy to understand, and the getting started instructions are more than enough to point you in the right direction. I'm using the Orbit Reader 20 to write this, and it is a joy to use. I am very encouraged that, at long last, Braille will be placed in the hands of people at a more affordable price, and whilst the wait for the Orbit Reader 20 has been long, it has been well worth waiting for. I do wish that a protective case had been supplied, but I understand that it is possible to obtain one, which I will be looking into. So, in conclusion, would I recommend this? Most assuredly, yes."
Well, there you go. That's our first review in for the Orbit. And Julie Rodaway there has offered to come back and do some audio reviews for us. I'd love to hear that, actually. One of the things that I hear about most from people abroad, mainly, who'd been trying this out, was that they Braille, the quality of the Braille was brilliant.
Yeah, crisp is what I keep hearing. It's nice and sharp and crisp. As ever, Julie does great work when it comes to Braille. I totally trust her and her opinion. And yeah, great. I can't wait to hear an audio review, but that covered everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really well done, covered quite a bit. And she's right. Everything that she said there and what you said, Sean, is everything that I've always heard when it first came out here in the States. The Braille is so good. It's so crisp. It comes up nice and clean. And it's very easy to read and hold and navigate. So, yeah, it's about time that it came out. I thought she was going to say the carrying case would be another year or two before we'd see those just to catch up. But nice to know that they're going to be on the way.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll be able to find a Braille class to learn some Braille. Just saying.
Anyway, nice.
Not getting into that again. Right, Chris, another one.
So we have a few emails about Braille learning. Now, lots of you have been emailing in following the chat last week about learning Braille. Stephen, you mentioned that finding a Braille class was very difficult. Mm. Well, our tech talkers have been on the case for you. Woo-hoo. Many of our listeners, like Tom, are suggesting you try out the Hadley Institute in America. Tom enrolled in it when he wanted to learn to read Braille. Listeners, Felicius from Germany, suggests the same, saying they claim to be the largest educator of Braille worldwide. They've been offering Braille courses via distance education, mail and Daisy books, since 1920. Their motto is that it is never too late to learn Braille. They also offer a lot of online courses on other subjects as well. Hadley's Braille courses are free of charge for someone who is blind or visually impaired. You might wonder why I recommend Hadley's. It's in the US, after all. Well, that's no problem. You can enroll in their courses as an international student. I'm one. Simply fill in their enrollment application. They might ask you to provide an eye report certifying that you have a visual impairment. Then you just have to wait until the material makes it over the pond. Maria from Australia also got in touch to suggest the Hadley's Institute. She says, it's possible to learn Braille remotely. I helped a friend who is located in Australia. Hadley sent her the Braille material and MP3 files she could follow. You also have access to a teacher via email. Karen suggests another way to learn for anyone living in Manchester. She says, at Henshaw's in Manchester on Fridays, they have Braille classes. When they advertise in their magazine called Hello, they say the Braille classes are for beginners and also for you to brush up. If you want any help, I am willing to help anyone out who wants to learn Braille. But I use my old Perkins and have taught two DRS and a maths teacher. They have all passed their exams with my help. I'm a totally blind lady, aged 60, and have 40 years of Braille. I live in Wigan in the Northwest. I've learnt a lot from your programmes about different gadgets and different technology. Karen also sent in her mobile number for anyone who wants it, but we don't think we should broadcast that. Wow. So if you want Karen's help, get in touch with us and we'll connect you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but there's more to this, isn't there, Chris?
Sandra also got in touch with yet another way to learn Braille, this time with the help of the RNIB. She says, I was very interested in your item about the Orbit and learning to read Braille. There is a home learning Braille reading and writing course called Fingerprint. It consists of lesson books and audio cassettes containing the lessons and homework exercises. It costs £39 from the RNIB. I've completed this Braille reading and writing course. I found learning fun and a positive experience. Rachel also got in touch regarding this. As I write, I am just catching up with the most recent podcast, where there was an interesting discussion about Braille and the apparent lack of face-to-face Braille teaching and learning resources. A couple of years back, I had the honour of working at a well-known residential college for blind and partially sighted students as a Braille teacher. This was extremely rewarding. The thing is, my contract was only for a year and it came to an end far too quickly. Since moving back to the northeast of England, once my contract ended, I've made myself known to all our local organisations as well as social media, and it's sad to note that, for whatever reason, there appears to be very little demand for Braille where I live. Mm. No exaggeration, but in the last 2 years, only one person, who's actually a friend of mine, has approached me to request Braille tuition. I really do feel like I'm in the wrong part of the country for doing the work I am so passionate about, passing on what is definitely still a vital skill, even if Braille reading and writing methods have moved on from the bulky paper and noisy Perkins Braille machines. It feels touching to hear what you were saying, Stephen, about how all you want is someone who can teach you Braille. As a qualified teacher, I really wish there was some way I could help. It feels good to know there are people out there who do want to learn Braille. Just goes to prove it still has its place. I would love to be able to help you, Stephen.
Well, you know, I'd love to be able to help as well, but, you know, you're there, I'm here.
I was touching. No, look, I got to say, joking aside, that was a lovely series of emails. I think it's a catch-22. Going back to Karen's point, there is some blame on, well, let's put it on myself here, because I do feel, am I too old to learn it now? I'm never going to get up to the, when I see people just skimming their hands along reading Braille so quickly, I think I'm never going to get to that level. So is it even worth me starting it now? So I've got some, that, you know, that's my issue. Plus, I don't think organisations like my local social services, they won't push any trainers forward because they just say, no, Braille's, the demand's not there. And I'm just wondering, how many people are they saying that to? You know, is the demand there, but they think that technology's moved on and people aren't being connected. There is definitely a need for Braille.
I'll say this, I think that I'm so glad to hear there are people out there still training, still wanting to train. I mean, it seems ridiculous, there's all these trainers, like you're saying, you know, and councillors are saying no. Actually, yes, there are people who want to train, people who want to learn, so let's just put them together. You know, if only there's this thing called RNIB Connect that already exists. Well, look, we're here and we're talking about it. And you know what? If this gets us closer to finding a group of people, you know, then maybe we should just get like a list of people together and say, right, look, these are the areas where there are people who want to teach. And, you know, if you're wanting to learn Braille, get in touch. You know, let's not just let Braille die. That's my thing. It just feels like it will die otherwise.
It doesn't have to be over the post. I mean, you know, webinars and you know, video communications and Skype and Zoom. We've got all these technologies open to us that should actually help spread Braille rather than just, you know, kill it off.
And I have to say, I mean, I don't know Braille either, and I've made the same kind of excuses. Well, when would I use it? Am I really going to sit and be able to learn how to read Braille fast, you know, skimming across the page? And in doing that, I make a lot of excuses saying, well, I'm not going to probably ever be that fast. The only time I could ever see me maybe using Braille is, you know, when I'm in an elevator or in a hotel where I'm trying to, you know, find the door or the room number. But even then, I'm almost always with somebody or I find the doors in other ways. So I make those excuses. That being said, I have taken classes from Hadley Institute that a lot of people recommended there. And their Braille course is really good. It's at your pace. It is all through the post. However, you can do it as quickly or as slowly as you like. And I know a lot of people who have taken the entire Braille course from them and many different ages. I've known people in their 20s, in their 50s and 60s that have taken those courses and read Braille really, really well. So something like that can work. But of course, there's something to be said for working with somebody in person as well. Maybe doing it over, you know, through the mail is not for everyone, and learning it on your own that way, you know, with a recording is not for everyone. So it is nice to have a person-to-person training as well.
Right, look, we're nearly out of time. I just want to mention one more message that we've got in here. Chris, over to you.
All right, and our final email today comes from Billy Burrell.
Hey!
He says, hi, Stephen, Sean, Tim, and Chris. He always remembers me, does Billy? I wrote to you last year and sent in a poem I had written for you all for Christmas. Unfortunately, my email arrived too late for the poem to be included in the show, so I have written another, this time for Halloween. I hope you can manage to fit it in somewhere, and I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. I will resend the Christmas one in December, and I have now edited it slightly to include Chris. Hey! Keep up the good work. Best regards, Billy Burrell.
Start the effects machine.
Stephen sent an email out regarding the 31st of October. It says, it's party time again, and we won't be going home sober. fancy dress and decorations. Let's pull out all the stops. Get cauldrons, broomsticks, and witches' hats, and assorted spooky props. The hosts wear Halloween costumes and are such a gruesome sight, though perhaps look worse without the masks when seen in broad daylight. They all agree when the place is dressed that the studio does look good. But lunchtime seems like a long time ago, and their attention turns to food, with Eye of Newt, Wing of Bat, and toad skins in their pot. They stir in a batch of tandoori sauce, and Sean soon scoffs the lot. But Stephen doesn't blink an eye. To him, it's nothing tragic. He goes to his desk, opens a drawer, and pulls out a box of black magic. When the food is gone and the table cleared, with crumbs thrown down for the mice, they refill the cauldron once again and dunk for an apple device. Hey. There are jack-o'-lanterns all around the room to create an atmosphere. And they play games of pin the black cat's tail as the witching hour draws near. Chris reads out incantations he's found on the internet. And as he stares at Sean and Stephen, they both begin to fret. Just then, there's a bang upon the door, and the nervous pair take to their feet. The handle is turned, the door creaks open, and Tim shouts, "Hey, trick or treat!" Relieved, they welcome in their friend and ask him where he's been, saying, "You only just got here in time to wish everyone a happy Halloween."
Hey!
Oh, wow!
Oh,
amazing!
Well done.
Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you for that, Billy.
Oh, well done, Billy. That has cheered me up no end this week. And what a perfect end to our Halloween special that didn't go out on Halloween. I think that kind of sums up our show perfectly.
That's
well.
That's Tech Talk.
Yep, that's
Chris, thank you for coming in here this week again and being part of this crazy thing.
Thanks very much, Tech Talkers. Until next week, thank you for having me.
Bye. And
bye, Chris.
Just
bye,
a reminder, Chris. Check out the podcast. You'll know where to find it. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk. And of course, remember, we're back next week at the same time. We'll be focusing on the Apple event next week. But thank you so much, Tim and Sean, as always. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Catch you next time on Tech Talk.
The foulest stench is in the air. The funk of 40,000 years. And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller.
Ha 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 ha